Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Moffa, and it is my job to introduce the queen of all media, Lonnie Love.
Hello, Alec.
How are you, darling?
When she's not hosting game shows. She's on talk shows.
Oh, here we go.
When she's not on talk shows.
No, I'm actually.
She's. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the script down, Alec.
Yeah?
You know,
I'm the lead.
Yes. And it's. Now I see why you don't hear from actors for years.
Are you in every scene?
Yes. I'm in every
That's
scene.
That's so great, Lonnie.
Alec.
That's so great that the movie studio went, all right, I'm going to put my money on that one. She's going to make money this
That's
weekend.
That's the problem. So yeah. Now I got to try to get it all down. Lonnie is going to be a romantic comedy lead. Okay.
You are? Okay.
No. It's a horror film. Anyway.
Oh, it's a horror film. Even better. You know what this reminds me of? I was like, okay, I am a huge Whoopi Goldberg stan. I mean, I went to see Whoopi Goldberg when I was in NYU in 1986, and she literally changed my life.
Yes.
Because I saw somebody who was like, didn't look like anybody I knew, didn't have a name like anybody I knew, and she could do anything.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It was just pure talent.
Pure.
And I remember there was an article about her, in the New York Times Magazine this weekend, about how everybody wanted to make Whoopi Goldberg a movie star, but they didn't always know how. So they put her in a lot of dramas, which she could do because of Color Purple. And then she did her equal number of Jumpin' Jack Flashes and any kind of like Eddie Murphy type comedy. It was just very hard to pigeonhole her. And her three biggest hits are Ghost, Sister Act, and Color Purple.
And Carina.
And Carina Carina. I've never seen Carina Carina.
It's with classic Ray Liotta. It's a wonderful film. At that time, it was edgy because, of course, you know, Whoopi's black, he's white. Mm-hmm. And it's about the story of her being a nanny.
Yeah.
And they end up falling in love, her and Ray Liotta. So it's a wonderful movie. So, but the whole point is that Whoopi found her lane. That's what you're saying.
She found her lane in this kind of like, you know, Oscar gave her so much legitimacy, but she also had the range to try different things. You know, she did some B movies, of course, but she did a lot of dramatic movies. I remember one movie she did called The Long Walk Home with Sissy Spacek, where she was part of the bus boycott and she had to walk home every day, and that was especially moving.
Right.
So your campaign, is it going to be you running away from Freddie?
It's going to be me acting like I'm Octavia Spencer.
Oh, Octavia Spencer is in this movie called Ma. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Octavia Spencer plays this middle-aged woman who lives in this town, and she's inviting all the teenagers from the high school to party in her basement after school. And she's basically letting them do whatever they want. You want to light up, you want to spark up, you want to drink. And then she it turns out to be this whole elaborate plot for her to get back at the parents of the kids who were cruel to her in high school.
We are letting squirrel friends know what it's like in Hollywood. We are here not only to talk about Squirrel Friends and RuPaul's Drag Race, but because we are actually working actors, comedians in this field, it's so much, you guys. I mean, just alone, this script is like, it's about 99 pages, which is a lot. And I'm in every scene. And so what I am actually doing is breaking down the script and I'm learning line by line by line.
Yeah,
and
it's line just by line by line. And also
3 to 4 hours a day.
It is also easier for me the night before to know what I'm going to be shooting the next day.
Right.
Because then I could really study the lines and then figure out what is it I'm doing and everything. Because also shit happens on the day. And you don't want to get caught in the same line reading. You know, if somebody reacts a certain way and you're giving the line reading that you memorized that doesn't match up to their reaction. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
but I don't want to get on set that day and they're like, let's go. And I'm like, bitch don't know shit.
Oh, no. That's not going to happen.
You're like, wait a minute.
You are such a pro. You are such a pro. And you're the lead, which means you'll be able to take time.
And you set the tone.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting it. I'm getting it. So if I'm a little, you know, okay, let's go.
But also, that's a huge responsibility. The lead always sets the tone.
It's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
But I am really, you know what? This is the second, this is a new chapter in my life. People want to know, you know, behind the scenes, it's Alec and I have been working for years. I did a talk show for 9 years. And now it's like, that's over. And now I'm doing something different. And I'm going back into movies. And I just now am at the realization, Alec, that, wow. I gotta get it. It's just different.
No, this is real stuff when it really comes down to brass tacks. And also, like, I'm back home from quarantine, as you can see.
I see you, but yeah. I love it. How you feeling?
I feel really tired. But, you know, I was so happy to be back in my own home just yesterday that just kind of like I lay down in my bed and I slept for 12 hours.
That was that good sleep. That was that REM sleep.
So great. Oh. And so I'm never leaving again.
Oh.
But it's just like, you know, when showbiz gets serious for you, like the spotlight's really on you, like, okay, this is about you now. We're really going to try out Lonnie Love. Then it gets spooky. But you can do this. You've worked for this.
I appreciate that.
You have put in the hours, you have earned the trust of the people around you, and the people know who you are. They saw you every day on television for 9 years.
And I'm not going to open in a theater.
Are you going to open in a theater?
No.
But listen, Lonnie, listen, isn't this great? Okay, like, fear aside, which is good. Fear means you give a shit. Fear means you want to get it right, and fear means that you're going to work hard. But for you, think about your journey. Little Brewster Project's Lonnie is headlining a horror film.
Don't do this.
Come on. You are living the dream that you dreamt when you were a little kid.
You know what? This is the reason why I got into this business. And I think talking about and kind of looping it back in with Drag Race, it's the same thing. It's like you never know where this type of career will take you. Mm-mm. And that's the beauty of entertainment. And that's another reason why we love our squirrel friends, because once you become a drag persona, it can take you anywhere.
It can take you anywhere. And RuPaul is the primo example of that.
Definitely.
I mean, on paper, it doesn't make any sense. A black drag queen entertainer, international quality. Do you know what I mean?
Who would have thought?
And not only she took a very fringe art. This is like so fringe. You only watch it downtown at a dive bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right? That's what drag used to be. And now it's everywhere.
I just love it. And you know what? We are getting a lot of DMs from different people that are supporting the podcast. And I got a DM.
Let's hear it.
Favorite show. Wellington will actually take a screenshot of our latest episode, you know, and he posted. And so, Wellington, thank you for that. He did it just for the last week. So this is what I'm talking about. Squirrel friends be helping us out.
What did Wellington say this week? Did he have a message or did he just repost?
No, Wellington does is send like the podcast. He sends the screenshot. And I said, wait. Okay. Now that I'm looking, Wellington, he says, it's a pleasure to hear you in this podcast. I said, thank you for listening. You and Alex should talk about other franchises. It would be amazing. That's Alex Jobs. Okay. It takes a lot of time to do other franchises and still do our other work. But maybe one day. I see. I just love the chemistry between you and Alex. Have a nice weekend. And then, so that's, you know.
That's great.
Isn't that sweet? So Wellington, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And he's going to love this that we're talking about. Him. So, do you have any?
I got one from somebody named Phoenix Vuitton. Phoenix Vuitton, what a great name. Hey, Alec, just wanted to let you know I love the Squirrel Friends podcast with Lonnie, and I wanted to tell you your character Adam and Big Didi on Half and Half were my favorites. Much love. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, and, wait a minute. Breaking what? News. Oh, okay.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at. Okay,
what?
Go ahead.
What's breaking news?
I don't know, because Tia Mowry is filing for divorce from her husband.
Oh, no. And you know her, so what's the deal?
Oh, God, I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Wait, what's happening? You sat next to her every day and you don't know? A bunch of girls on your show got divorced.
No, that's the other. I was with her sister, Tamara.
Oh, okay. The sister.
Keep on with the DMs. No, I'm just...
Text her right now. Find out what's going on. We can find out in real time.
My goodness. And Giselle and Tom Brady allegedly are going to see a divorce.
From Stacey L. McCurdy. Stacey L. McCurdy, just listened to the latest girlfriend. Sorry you're not feeling well, and I hope you feel better soon. Hugs and good wishes.
See, that's we have two listeners. That is so great.
That is so great. Who give a shit that I was sick and alone, that I was all by myself. So Tia Mowry, how long was Tia Mowry married for?
Okay, Tia is Tamara's sister. I was on the show with Tamara.
With Tamara.
My goodness. They've been married 14 years.
Wow.
14.
And then there was somebody else who got divorced in your show.
Jeannie. Jeannie Mai got married, and now she's married to a rapper, Jeezy. But we got to take a break, Alec, because we've been talking so much. It's so nice talking to you.
It is nice talking to you, too.
So we're going
to
get back with more Squirrel Friends. We'll be right back.
We'll talk about Drag Race stuff. We'll be right back.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back. Listen, you can DM us anytime. We love hearing from you. And this has turned into a celebrity gab fest. Tia Mowry, I'm so sorry. It's so sorry when I get divorced, but sometimes it's the best thing ever. I saw an Instagram video of your husband dancing, Lonnie Love.
That's not my husband.
He's not your husband?
A boyfriend. That was National Boyfriend Day.
Oh.
And so I posted.
I heard you introduce him as your husband one time.
No, never. That was another black girl.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he was dancing and he was moving. He was a white guy, but he was moving on 2 and 4, which was very promising.
For only a second. I mean, Yeah. And then after that, it's like...
It went awry. It went badly.
Definitely.
The other piece of show business news we have is that Loretta Lynn, queen of country music, has passed away. She was in her 90s.
Coal miner's daughter.
Yeah, coal miner's daughter. And what... Because she's a favorite of drag queens. A lot of drag queens do her in the South. And the reason they do her is because Loretta Lynn was one of the very first country western singers to sing about women's issues. She sang about men cheating on her. She sang about being pregnant again. And she has one song called One More's on the Way. And it was just about how everybody else is out there living in their lives and I'm here pregnant again. So she kind of revolutionized in a very conservative medium. She was a feminist.
Definitely.
Really kind of talking about her body. My favorite song of hers is You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man.
I love it. I mean, she gave you that strength. She showed the strength of, with all the tragedies that she had to endure in her life
and
to still be a success.
Yeah.
These are the type of people that we like to uplift and she's going to be greatly missed, but we will remember her through her music.
And she was poor. She is
poor.
Woo. Poor. They got clothes once a year from a Sears catalog. And I love that kind of self-made trajectory.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think of you, Lonnie Love, Brewster Projects, and now the lead in a horror film. Who's going to play you in the movie? Octavia Spencer is Lonnie Love.
Now, but Squirrel Friends, we are here because we just finished a wonderful season of Secret Celebrity Drag Race, where we had some great performances, some memorable moments. One of my most memorable moments were the Queen Supreme. I think that they were my favorites.
Yeah.
I like the way they coordinated every week. I like that they gave us the backstage tea. But also, more importantly, for me, when I was on Celebrity Drag Race, it was important to get mentoring because it's like I signed up to do it and I watched Drag Race and I understood that I could do it. But having that drag mama, which Trinity the Tuck was my drag mom.
Yeah.
That really gave me, because they coach you on your look. They help you with, finding your name. They coach you on everything from your performances.
Yeah.
They pull it out of you.
So how did she coach you? How did she help you? Did she help you with your movement? Arms, your legs?
Making sure that, because you think that I'm not a dancer. But Trinity is one of the most beautiful queens out there. Very graceful. I'm not graceful like that. So, she gave me tips on how to be graceful, how to hold my hands. It's like, it's a certain way that you hold your hand. Even like with the fan, like when you're opening up the fan and it's a certain way that you pop it open. I never did that. So, Trinity gave me so many tips. So for these Queen Supremes, you can tell every week that they were working with their mentees on certain things, and it was great. So I really appreciated them.
And wanting them to do well. I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like, well, we're not competing, but we want you to do well. And the way that they coached them was really, really fun. I remember Poppy Love's performance. She did 5-1. She did all the Spice Girls and didn't win, which was surprising to me.
Yeah.
But I thought that was one of the most fun things to do. And it looked like she really loved doing it. And what I loved about Poppy Love was you saw her go from being a man in a dress.
Yes.
Who was acting like a queen to somebody really being a queen.
Yes.
He was like unbelievable. Just
which is why, I knew that AJ would win. I mean, I knew by the second episode.
You did?
This is it. Yeah. I was like, everyone else was great. You know, first of all, Loretta Devine. I'm like, that's Loretta Devine. You can tell by her voice.
It's like, hi, I'm competing as I'm Secret Celebrity Drag Race. It's like, no, Loretta. There's a meme of Loretta Devine that shows her face. And it says, you can hear this woman's voice just by looking at this picture.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness. But, and for me, I know you liked Thirsty Von Trapp's Bad Romance performance. Yeah. That was one of the highlights for you.
Yeah. I love that. I just love that it was like she had taken all the vice. She had done the drag confessional, which is like where you talk about your deepest, darkest secret. I feel ashamed. I was teased for being a sissy. And they said, that's the place of power.
Yeah.
That is your place, the place where they squash you down. They're not burying you. That's a seed. And something's going to grow from that. And what I appreciated about her performance was like, she'd laid it all out there. All right. The stuff she was self-conscious about, her not being dead in the eyes. It was just like, she was fully it. That was great.
And people have to remember, for Secret Celebrity Drag Race, you're just seeing edited portions of everything that they went through.
Yeah.
We're talking about people going through hours of rehearsals.
Yeah.
Wardrobe fittings, rehearsing the lip syncs. And also the judging is also edited because yeah. I know when I'm, you know, and I know for you too, Alec, when I'm judging, you know, when I'm sitting there with either Carson or whoever that's yeah. the judges, I'm giving real critiques.
Yeah, and sometimes we're given the notes, we want two positives and two negatives.
Well, I've yeah. never gotten that note.
I have. I'm always nice.
No. Sorry. I'll never forget when I had to critique Cornbread. And Cornbread was doing, you know, the fat, self-deprecating jokes. And I'm like, you're funny with that. But my yeah. advice was that, you know, you got to look beyond that.
Right.
You know, because it's real easy, especially when you're a big person, I can say that because I'm a big person.
Right.
The first thing is to go with, I'm fat, and let's make some fat jokes. And I'm right. like, but if you want to stand out and be different, what else is it about you?
How can we go deeper than that?
This,
yeah, because it's only two dimensions.
And so it's important because a lot of times you don't see that. You don't see the critiques. But when you're week to week as a performer, you get those critiques from the judges. And that actually can help you to improve your performance as well.
Yeah, if you listen. I mean, there have been so many Drag Race contestants who are like, I got to be me. I got to be true to myself. Well, you're going home. So, bye.
Yeah. Another one of the best moments that I liked was Chick LaFay and Violet Chachki's Battle of the Divas performance.
Oh, which that was so good.
Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. Oh, I thought that was so clever. It was so cute. It was really cute.
That was my favorite. And it also made me wonder, like, they seemed... Do you think Mariah Carey, since we're talking about celebrities today, this mm-hmm. is like the Gossip Queen days, do you think they... Do you have any inside skinny? Do they really like each other? Do they consider each other peers?
Mariah and Whitney?
And Whitney.
You know, back in the 80s, it was like a really great time because you didn't have like social media the way you have mm-hmm. social media now. So you didn't have these so-called stands to instigate. And so it was a lot of behind the scenes.
Right.
Tension
right.
and drama. Yeah. And I think it should be kept like that. I think nowadays people are taking things way too personal.
Yeah, like you told me about all that Twitter war over.
It's still going on, too.
It's still on for nothing.
It's still going on. But, you know, back then, there's behind the scenes tension. But in the end, they always came together. Like if VH1 had, like, you know, the divas.
Yeah.
They would put them all on the same stage and they all perform.
I love that.
But, you know, if it was left up to today, they probably wouldn't because it's so much that's been aired out publicly that you wouldn't,
everybody would be talking shit online about like what's happening and blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah, but the thing is, everybody had talent. You had Mariah, you had Whitney.
Celine,
you had Aretha, Christina, you had, they all, and when you go back to Aretha Franklin, you had Aretha, you had Gladys Knight, you had Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about some real divas, and don't add in Diana Ross or the black divas?
Yeah,
that's a whole different type of diva shit.
Yeah.
So
Diana Ross kills me because she was coming up in the 60s with the very first black mainstream stars.
She was Beyonce before Beyonce.
Before Beyonce. And during her time, she really had to demand respect from everybody. So, like, she was like, I'm not going to be treated like somebody from the projects. Call me Miss Ross when you address me.
Definitely.
And so everybody was like talking about that's deviant behavior. And I'm like, no. She earned it. She's Miss Ross.
Remember too, back then, especially for black women, that's the thing that Aretha Franklin, she would always demand that they call her Miss Franklin.
Yes.
Because of the fact that everybody, you're dealing with men at the time in the music industry that would do all kind of things. I mean, we're not going to even,
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? The things they
had to, right. And so you had to stand up for yourself. And so that's the thing. So when you talk about being divas and getting respect, those women did it. And I'm just glad that at that time we didn't have social media.
I bet they were able to listen to each other's stuff and go, okay, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they admired each other.
Yeah. Because I remember when Mariah Carey's first album came out, I had a vision of love, and I was like, who is that? What is going on?
But you know Mariah's story, right?
Mm-mm.
Mariah had a friend, oh God, what is her name, that was actually signed on to the record label before Mariah.
Uh-oh.
And what happened was the friend, oh my goodness.
Got dropped.
Yeah. The friend took, the story as it allegedly goes is that the friend took Mariah's demo tape and helped out Mariah. Mariah became the star over the friend. Oh,
that reminds me of that scene in Fame. Do you remember this in the movie Fame where she was like, this was supposed to be my audition, Leroy. I didn't want to go to this ass licking school anyway. You look at a one happy lady. Remember?
My God! I'm trying to find her name.
Was it Rebe Jackson? Was she crawling like a centipede?
It wasn't Rebe.
Nobody,
it wasn't,
you know,
Rebe.
I love you so much because not everybody gets that reference. It's Rebe Jackson? Crawling like a centipede.
Let me tell you something. These antiques right here, these two that y'all listening to, we can go back to 1940.
Okay? Oh my God. music is everything, which is, how's this for a segue? Music is everything on the show and is a big part of RuPaul's Drag Race. And they do pick great songs. I remember the Delivery Room performance between Poppy Love and Morgan McMichaels. They were doing The Boy Is Mine to Brandy.
Right, right.
And they were in hospital gowns and everything. And that was like, okay, hilarious. It's not going to get much more ridiculous than that.
It's just, but that's the whole purpose of Drag Race. It's to, you know, it's entertaining, it's funny, it's creative. More importantly, creative. I love that
part. I just
don't
want the secret part anymore. I want to know. I want to know who's what.
Well, maybe they could do the secret, like, the first two episodes instead of stretching it out.
Yeah, all right.
You know.
Dreamcast for next year. All right. So I think that there should be a boy band spot every year. So they should get somebody from, it could be Lance Bass. It could be somebody from NSYNC. It could be somebody from 98 Degrees.
You got
Justin
plenty.
Timberlake.
You got plenty.
All right, Lonnie. Did you see what's happening?
What?
Did you see that thing about that? It was a couple months ago. Justin Timberlake, there was a TikTok video of him dancing at a concert. And everybody was like, oh,
he
had
on the shoes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what? He looked like he just got off his couch and he was like dancing. And we
What was wrong? What? He was just dancing, but all of a sudden he looked like a 50-year-old man dancing. And then it was like the optics on it was like, oh, no, this is corny. He's corny now.
That's all it was. It was just a point of, first of all, here again.
It's like the Uncle Denzel picture. Remember when Denzel, that meme?
They cut one bad angle, and all of a sudden you're mean. One bad angle, you're terrible. A meme, you're this. But it's fine. I think my dream cast, let me see. I like to see more straight guys tackling it.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
Athletes. Like if we had like a tennis player or a football player.
A big football player.
A big football player.
Yeah.
Who's that one getting divorced? Tom Brady.
Oh.
Tom Brady, sponsored by Hertz, comes out as I don't know, what's her name? Legzilla or something.
The only thing is, a lot of times they don't have rhythm athletes don't have rhythm.
They don't?
So, you know, a lot of
times.
You
have to have a certain amount of rhythm to, like, be able to move and hear all those calls.
Because they're so big, though.
Because they're big.
Yeah, they're big and everything. But I don't know if it would be, it would be more comical because of their size and stuff like that. And we saw with Donna Bellissima that it's hard getting custom stuff because Donna Bellissima is a size 18.
Yeah, 19 shoe.
Yeah.
There's a queen on Australian Drag Race who made it to the top three. Her name was Queen Kong. And she was named Queen Kong because she's from New Zealand. So she's Samoan. So she's big. Yeah. So she's built like the Rock.
Right.
She has, but she's fine out of drag. Like, you're like, I can't believe you're a drag queen because, I want to take care of business right now. But she's big, but she's beautiful in drag. I don't know how she does it. If you Google Queen Kong after this, Aussie Drag Race, that was a really good franchise. At first, I was like, I watched Australian Drag Race immediately after All Stars 7, and I was like, they're all buggers. I mean, after that season, everybody was so amazing. But then you fall in love with this cast. I'm also watching the Philippine one, which is absolutely
amazing. Oh, well, wait a minute.
Amazing.
We're gonna talk about that, but I gotta take a break. I gotta get some water. Okay, we'll be right back.
Get some water. She's dying of thirst.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back. So I watched everything. Also, being home, stuck in a house with COVID, gave me a great deal of time. I watched the premiere of the British Drag Race, and I'm calling the winner already.
Okay, who?
There's this Caribbean girl, a black girl, and her name is Black Peppa.
Oh.
And she's like Grace Jones. She's like high art, very glossy. She is, I think she's at least 6 feet tall.
Wow.
And weighs 10 pounds. Like, she's a supermodel. And she's beautiful. And in the very first episode, she won the mini challenge and the maxi challenge.
Right. Really?
Yeah, Black Peppa for the win. And she's absolutely amazing. There's more black people this season. I think there's 3 black contestants. I think last season they had like 1. And the British drag, they're more cabaret performers. Mm-hmm. They're more or less like twirlers like we have here. And they're more comedians. They're more like character actors and entertainers, which makes them really good at the challenges. But sometimes their looks aren't all that great.
Oh.
Yeah.
I also want to remind Squirrel Friends that RuPaul Drag Race has an official newsletter. And this newsletter.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
I saw it on Twitter. See, this is why I'm always hanging out on Twitter.
Okay.
And you subscribe to it. And if you really are a fan, you can get all this great information off of the newsletter. So all you have to do is subscribe to it, just like you need to subscribe to our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get all the latest information and everything about RuPaul's Drag Race and all the different ones and everything. So, and also, since we're talking about Drag Race UK, we want to give our condolences to our sister Cherry Valentine, who
terrible.
Passed away. I mean, just beautiful, full of life. So we also, if we're talking about the UK Drag Race, definitely we want to give our condolences.
Yeah, to her family and the whole Drag Race family.
The thing is, we become a family. And, you know, once you're in the family, you're always there. So it's important to recognize as people pass on. Now, with that said, this week for UK Drag Race,
this black girl, I just look her up, Black Peppa, and you could watch it on WOW Presents Plus. But it's, you know, what's so funny is that every year when a new drag season starts, I'm like, I don't know, am I going to get invested with people? And then in the first episode, I'm already into it. I love her. I hate him. He's going to win, you know, and But the looks, there's one drag queen on this season called the Starlet at UK. Uh-huh. Unbelievable. She's like a 1920s movie star, and she's only 21 years old. And I was like, first of all, how do you know about these movies? But she's just incredible.
Oh.
Yeah. And the Philippines, Drag Race Philippines is so Filipino. During Untucked, there's food backstage. They're eating. They're eating fried chicken wings. They're eating noodles. They're eating during Untucked. I love it. You've never seen that before. I was like, yeah, I've never seen that. And first of all, you never see drag queens eat on the show ever. But like, I said, this is so Filipino. They're eating.
I love it.
Yeah. And they're really, really abrupt. Do you know like how certain ethnicity subcultures talk to each other in a way that you're fine. You're fine because it's family, right?
Yeah, right.
In the Philippines, your family members will go up to you and go, you're fat. What happened to you? You got so fat. And they're not doing it to be mean. It's just Filipino. They're just so frank. And so on Philippine Drag Race, the main judge will literally say something like, I don't like your dress. I just don't like it.
It's just like direct to the point.
But it's like because we're such a small country, and it's like Filipinos talk to each other like family. It's really messed up. I mean, there are examples of that in the Black community.
Where can you imagine Drag Race Compton, you know?
You would say things to each other that in any other circumstance, it'd be like, what are you doing? But no.
Why are your toes over those shoes?
Right. What's with the cliffhangers? Yeah.
It's like, what is happening? You know, why you got those ashy heels? What is it? You've been beating on flour? What is it?
Were you in a flower kicking contest? What are you wearing?
Oh my God.
I wouldn't wear that to a dog fight.
It's just important for people to know that Drag Race is now becoming international, and it's nice to keep up with the different global drag races. I can't wait for it to get to other countries as well.
Yeah.
Because, it's drag is all over. And like we said, we love this art form because it's inclusive of people and you learn so much, and that's what's important too.
It's important because it's also taking these people, these drag performers who are formerly shunted aside and kind of discounted, and you get to see their humanity. You get to see them as a person.
Yeah.
On my very last day of shooting Connie and Carla, that drag queen movie, we shot in Vancouver for 3 months. And one of the biggest macho, trucker guys, one of the Teamsters, somebody came up to him and said, did you ever think that you'd spend 3 months working with a bunch of drag queens? And he went, they're just people.
Wow.
And I was like, that's everything. That's everything.
Speaking of people, tip your queens.
Oh, yes. Please tip your queens. Show them love on all their social media. You know, it's just dots on a screen that can affect your day, whether or not you decide to or not. But send them love and it'll make you feel better. I mean, when you do nice things for people and you don't expect anything in return, that's a good feeling. Where can people find you on your socials, Lonnie Love? Where can they DM you?
They can DM me. I like DMs. Yeah, on Instagram, bet. Comic Lonnie Love. On Twitter, at Lonnie Love.
And maybe somebody could help run lines with you.
Because James is horrible. I'm so proud of you, Lonnie.
Number one on the call sheet. You deserve it. You can find me at Alec Mappa on Twitter and the Instagram. And I love getting your messages.
Make sure y'all follow Alec.
Yeah. I got to catch up to Lonnie. I'm at 34,000. So I am gaining traction, folks.
Yes, you are. Yes. And we love it. And we will be reading your DMs and your lovely positive messages. So make sure that you DM us. Listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please, and tell everybody you've ever met.
Catch up on past episodes of Drag Race and All Stars on Paramount Plus.
We'll be back next Monday for an all-new episode of School Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.